Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
We're in our series called Margins, and just talking about what margins are and how they help our lives and the importance of margins. God intended that we would live in a place of not just always at the limit of what we have in time and money and energy, but that we would live out of a place of abundance and overflow in our lives. In fact, there's our scripture for today. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly." Last week when we started off the series, we started 2 weeks ago, then we had our anniversary last Sunday. 2 weeks ago, we started off, we did a little show of hands of how many of you feel like you're running out of time, could use more time or use more finance or use more energy. And pretty much everybody's kind of like, yeah, I'm always running out of energy, running out of time, need more sleep. If I had a few more minutes, I could spend time starting exercising or getting more sleep or getting out and doing something more fun. So my wife and I, we were committed to trying to do better at our margins, aren't we? We did good. Last Monday, we took a day off. We went and watched a movie. It was great. You know, it was so much fun. What else? We did something else fun, didn't we? Is that it? I need more margins for my brain. But God's intention is that we would live out of abundance in our lives, an overflow, because out of that overflow is where the magic happens. It's where the joy comes. It's where the love happens in our lives. And all of us, God's created us for relationships and to enjoy and to share love. That's why we celebrate things like marriages, like Manny and Angela. And I think we already gave them one round of applause, but how many of you watched, anybody watch their wedding? There was something missing at the end where they're saying, did I miss the kiss? Did they do the first kiss? And Manny said, they don't do a first kiss in India. So we thought they should do their first kiss here in church. I'm sure they've kissed a little bit before, but come on, we want to see the public kiss. Let's embarrass them. It's okay. There we go. Big kiss. Come on. Oh, yes, you may kiss your bride. Awesome. But, we love relationships, and so we love celebrating together. And that's a little bit of what we're going to talk about today. Definition of margin. Margin is the space between our load and our limits. And that's from this book called Margin by Richard Swenson. It's kind of like the foundational book on margins in our lives. So if you haven't read it or are struggling with getting margin in your life, it's a great book to read. Margin, I would read it except I don't have enough time. I read most of it, so there we go. But what that means is the load that you carry in life, the load of time, emotions, energy that you carry in life, that's your load. How much energy you expend, how much money you expend, how much of your emotional energy that you expend. Your limit is how much you have left over after you've used all that you need to use. And for some of us, there's nothing in between. How much we have to spend to get our responsibilities done and what our limit is. And that means we have no margin. But it's in the margin that relationships happen. In our series here on margins, we did the overview last week. We're doing relationships this Sunday. And then next week, we'll do time. After that, we're going to do finances, I believe, and then morals and identity. So stay tuned. You're going to see how margins play into each one of these things that are so important in our lives. But today, we're covering the area of how margins affect our relationships. So quick overview so you know what's coming up. Relationships happen in the margins. Relationships require margins, and we need a margin for what matters most. So number one, relationships happen in the margins. Let's pray before we jump into it. Father, we are so thankful that you've called us to a life of abundance, that, Lord, we would have more than what we need, and we'd be able to be generous from what's left over, and that we would be loving out of what's left over. And that, Lord, in our lives, the margins that we create in time, in energy, Lord, we would be able to use for the purposes of your kingdom, especially, Lord God, for communicating and experiencing love, relationships as you've created us for them. So we thank you for this now. May your Holy Spirit speak to each and every one of our hearts, that, Father, we would be inspired to live the way that Jesus lived when he walked this earth, to take time to speak into lives, to take time to show love, to take time to minister to people's needs, and to share with those who are closest with him. So, Father, I pray that today, as we go through these lessons, what your word says about margins and relationships, I pray that for each one of us, your Holy Spirit would speak in a way that would change our lives to be more loving, to be more like you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so here's the first verse that we're going to read. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 says, love is patient. And this is the first thing that the Bible says in terms of describing what love is. And I think it's telling that love is supposed to be patient, because love happens in those moments of waiting or in those margin spaces. Song of Solomon, the book in the Bible that's all about love, it says this, I adjure you. And this is the woman in the Song of Solomon. She says, I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, that you stir not up, that you not stir up or awaken love until it pleases. In other words, love takes time. I think there's a song, some pop song, I'm sure, that says that. Is that Mariah Carey? Oh, she's quite a singer. Anyway, love takes time. We won't try to sing her. I'll get my wife up here to do that. But love does take time. And that's not just because Mariah Carey said it. That's because the Bible says that love takes time and that you just have to wait on love. You can't force it to happen. And so if you have no margin in your life, then it's hard to experience the love that God created us for in life, because love happens in the margins. I know when I was pursuing my wife, you know, we both were busy. We had our careers, working other sides of the world, and we could have just kept at our work and kept doing what we're doing. And likelihood is that we would never experience love as God has brought it to us, or as we've experienced it now. But I had to take time out. I had to say to my boss and say, hey, can I take some time off and go to the Philippines to pursue my wife? I had to take time, even in my busy schedule, to text her every day, at multiple times a day, and sometimes during meetings. And then I text my coworkers instead, say, hey, love you. And they say, oh, thanks. You know? But so love, if you have very gracious coworkers and bosses, it could happen during work time. But but for us, I had to say, can I take some time off and go to the Philippines and just spend some time? So I took 2 weeks off and I went to the Philippines. And her bosses said, she said, hey, Bruce is coming. And they said, take 2 weeks off. Go ahead, you know, because they wanted us to fall in love. And they understood that love takes time. And it rarely happens in the midst of our busyness. It happens in our margins. And that's what the Bible says. It's what Mariah Carey says, so you know it's true, you know. But it's also what science says. There's an interesting study done in 1997, Washington University, and they were studying brain activity. We're just starting to understand how to map brain activity and to measure brain activity. And so they're doing this study on brain activity, and they would map and say, as people did different activities, what part of their brain would engage? And so they're following the electric impulses in the brain, and they're studying all these different activities that they did and which parts of the brain would light up and work. What they discovered, that they found was even more powerful, is what part of the brain would light up when the person was not doing anything. Because the part of the brain that lit up, there's a part of the brain that actually got active every time that the person was inactive. And it was this, what they call the dorsal medial prefrontal cortex. It's a lot. So anyway, it's right here, like in your brain. It's very top, dorsal, top, medial, in the middle. And the prefrontal is not quite to the front, right next to the front part of your brain. But what that part of your brain does is one of the most important functions is that it controls social interactions. And it wasn't until, so what they said was even when you're resting, when your body is in its resting state, what it goes back to is thinking about social interactions and connections. So your natural state is to think about your resting state, your base state in your brain is to think about connections. That's what we're created for. In fact, 20 years later, UCLA, they were doing another study on this brain activity, and they discovered through their studies is that what actually takes place is your brain is, number one, it's doing two things during those resting states. Number one, it's processing the social interactions that you've had. So actually, you are falling in love when your brain is inactive. So when guys are sitting there and they're not thinking about anything, girls, it's not wives, you know, it's not, they're not totally not thinking about anything. They're thinking about you and falling in love with you. So just let them daydream for a while. It's okay, you know, let that blank stay. It's there, you know. But our brains, so they're processing, your brain is processing the social interactions that you've had. And it's also preparing you for social interactions to come. And so it's in our resting state that the Bible says that love happens. Love is patient. And also science says that that's when love happens. That's when relationships happen. So if you don't have any margins in your life where you're just resting and you're letting your brain rest, then what happens is you're not so prepared for social interactions. And you're not, when people meet you, you're just not as friendly. You're not as embracing. You're not as prepared to respond to the social signals that people are sending you. And you don't have time to process when people have been nice to you or kind to you. There's no time for that emotion to begin to develop inside of you to respond correctly. And so it's important. Love happens. Relationships happen in the margins. You know, it's interesting in this day and age, it would seem that we have all this technology that should help us to communicate, right? We have all this communication technology in our phones, every kind of texting app. I don't know how many different messaging apps I've got. I've got Line and WhatsApp and Viber and Facebook Messenger and Slack, and I don't have Telegram. but you know, they have all these different and on our phones, right? Besides the normal phone and email and all that stuff, right? And yet we have less time to communicate. And so the incidence of loneliness keeps going up and up and up. People are more depressed, more isolated, even though they're more connected. People have thousands of friends on Facebook, and yet they feel lonely. Why? Because all that technology doesn't actually give you friendships. Because friendships take time. And so we can be more and more productive. We can be more and more connected, and yet more and more isolated. Humans are we're wired for connection. It's what our brains do. Whenever we find free time, our brains go back to connection. And yet more and more, we're feeling less and less connected because we're getting busier and busier. So although we're digitally or technology-wise, we're perhaps the most connected generation that's ever lived, we're also emotionally the most disconnected generation that's ever lived. Because we haven't really invested. We invest all this time and money into developing technology for communication, but we don't invest time into actually communicating and actually connecting. So relationships happen in the margins. So I want to encourage you, make time for relationships. Number two, healthy relationships require margins. So not only do they happen in the margins, but you have to have margins in order for the relationships to be healthy. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 through 11 says, "So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. So in the midst of our works, the Bible says we need to take rest in that. Let us therefore strive to enter into that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. And so what happened is the people of Israel, God's people, God created a resting place for them. But they had to work to enter into that rest, because it was in that rest that they would then connect with God, which is what we're all created for. We're created for connection with God. And the same way that every relationship, it happens in the margins. If we don't have margins, then we don't make this connection with God. And that relationship starts to fray and come apart. And so even though the children of Israel were God's people and headed towards the geographic location that God commanded them to go to or invited them to enter into, the promised land, because they didn't take time to develop the relationship with God along the way, they got into the physical land, but they didn't get into the relationship that God intended for them in the land. And so they never found the rest and the blessing that land was supposed to be to them, because that blessing really didn't come from the land. It came from the relationship. And we fall into the same trap. We think God is supposed to help us get wealthy, get a good job, get a good apartment, get a good relationship. So we're looking for all this stuff from God. And for some of us, that's what Christianity is. It's like, I come to church so that God will bless me. I want to do all the Christian things and be righteous so that God will bless me. But the truth is, we're trying to do all these things for God, but we forget about Him. And we don't create margin in our relationship with Him for that relationship to grow. And so because we have these shallow relationships with God that are really just, we come in, sing a few songs, listen to a lecture, and then we forget about God the rest of the week. And then we wonder, why am I not experiencing the abundant life and the overflow life the way that God intended? It's because we miss the secret to that life. The secret to that life is not keeping all the rules. The secret to that life is not church attendance. The secret to that life is the relationship with God. And that takes margin. Psalm 127, verse 2 says, "It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for He gives to His beloved sleep." Rest in those relationships. That's how love happens, is as we rest in God, then the relationships happen. Is that those margins in the relationship. So it's not just time, but also that has to do with our emotions. How many of you have ever been in a place where, like, you go through a tough day? This happens sometimes with my wife and I go through a tough day. I'm busy all day, you know, and then we get to nighttime and I just want to sleep. And my wife, she has more energy than me. She's just like the Energizer Bunny, going, you know. And for her, you know, she comes from this background where her work was always at night, you know, doing gigs in bars and clubs and stuff like that, right? So she's used to this up late at night. And I like waking up in the morning and sleeping at night, which I think is how God created us, right? The constant tension. So then I'm tired and I want to go to sleep, and she wants to talk, you know, and we're talking, when I'm tired, I just have very little emotional margin and I get grumpy, you know. Can you just sleep? So why are you getting grumpy at me, you know? So actually counseling people would say, you know, here's what you should do. You need to remember halt. Stop trying to have deep connecting conversations when you're hungry, you're angry, it's late, or you're tired. That's not a good time to because your emotional margins are too thin. And so anytime there's disagreement, we don't have emotional margin to work through those disagreements. And anytime I say something or she says something and she's looking for some kind of emotional response, she gets nothing from me because I got nothing left to give, you know? And she's trying to be sweet and I just want to go to sleep, you know? And then what does that do to her? She's like opening her heart, like, oh, you know, I want to share my heart, you know? And she gets bam, you know? And then that hurts, right? So you have to have emotional margins in your life. And how do we create emotional margins? Well, science tells us there's these four or five emotional, the hormones that are the happy hormones that create that emotional margin in our lives that make us happy to see people, talk to them, connect with them, bond with people. I think it's oxytocin, endorphins, dopamine, serotonin. I don't know. There's another one. I'm sure it's important. But anyway, all of these happy hormones in our lives, we need them. And if we don't have extra of them, then no matter how much another person is trying to connect with us, we just have no emotional margin to connect with them. And so if you're living without emotional margin, then your relationships are going to be unhealthy. So how do we increase our emotional margins? How do we increase those hormones? Well, simple things, you know, like exercise is really good. And even better, so all you guys, it was Eugene and James and Bertina and all the exercise people, you know. How do you exercise? I think about exercise, so that's good. And when I was younger, I used to exercise. But that's good. So you also exercise, even better if you can exercise outdoor, because sunshine also increases your happy hormones. And even better if you can do it with your dog, because petting your dog also increases your happy hormones. If you have a cat, sorry, we're dog people. We all have a cat, that's right. That's fun. And if you don't have, but if you don't have a pet, it's okay. You can just cuddle with someone. Make sure that that's your significant other. Don't just come up to some random, let's cuddle. I need to increase my, But cuddling, you know, and if your spouse doesn't want to cuddle, then just cook and eat together. Eating is great. You know, cooking, doing things together, especially if you eat chocolate. Chocolate's great for increasing your happy hormones. I'm not sure if it's actually chocolate that does it or just the effects when they eat chocolate, say, wow, your happy hormones went up. We just love chocolate. But scientists say chocolate does. Also, we're coming into Thanksgiving for all the Americans, and turkey increases your tryptophan. Tryptophan is an enzyme in turkey and a lot of things, milk, butter, eggs. It's actually in a bunch of different foods. But tryptophan it actually helps you also to increase your happy hormones. And it's one of those things that your body can't produce, so you got to eat it. Music does that. Meditation, massage, for those of you who like a good massage. All of these things are things that increase. Actually, anything that makes you smile or anyone that makes you smile, that increases your happy hormones. So look around at somebody, smile at them. See if you can make them smile. It help them increase their happy hormones a little bit today. So there's all these different ways of increasing our happy hormones. Saying thank you actually increases happy hormones. Doing little random acts of kindness actually increases not only your happy hormones, but can increase it in someone in those around you. So these are good things just every day to say, I'm just going to say thank you to someone. I'm going to find ways that attitude of gratitude in our lives actually increases our happy hormones, just like generosity and acts of kindness, community service. These things, that's why we love SALT, because it actually doing acts of generosity like that helps increase our happy hormones. So I love this. You know, when we do things that God says to do, it not only is a blessing, but it blesses us and we get happier. And I like when we're happy. All right, number three, margin for what matters most. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. Yeah, let love be your highest goal. That's it. I mean, you just pursue love. This is the primary thing for which God created us. And why we creating margins is not an afterthought. It's not meant to be something that we just do at the end of our day. And it's not something we do with, it's not meant to be done with the leftovers of our day. So often we just say, well, I'm going to get done all the stuff that are really important. And then if I have time left over, you know, that'll be my margin. But here it says love or relationship should be our highest goal. And if love really happens in the margins, and it requires us to have margins in our lives for our love to be healthy, then that needs to be a priority in our lives, this pursuit of love. As reading in the, I come from Hawaii. And so we have what we call the Hawaiian Bible, the book. And so in Hawaiian pidgin, this is for Kat and for Andrew, who always says, I want to hear you, you know, quote the Hawaiian Bible. It says, go all out, forget love and aloha. So you got to go all out, you know, to get love and get aloha. And I love that word aloha, because aloha just speaks in Hawaiian. It kind of is just this ubiquitous word that you can use for greetings and farewells and love of all kinds, appreciation for someone. All these things are viewed as aloha. Aloha is just goodwill towards people. And it's the word that defines really what a good life looks like. To live aloha is one of the sayings they have in Hawaii. Live aloha. In other words, it should just be a lifestyle that you appreciate people, that you express love, that you go after love, that you seek to generate love in every relationship and every circumstance. This is what it means to go out all out for love. This is what Paul was saying. If Paul was in Hawaii, he would have said, go all out then. Go for love and aloha. So let love be your highest goal. It's not meant to just be an aspiration. It's meant to be a lifestyle. That's why Jesus said, love God, love people. That's the greatest commandment. This is what you're to give your life to. This is the summation of all of the rest of the law and the prophetic words in the Bible. All come back to this, love God and love people. I loved Dr. Swenson in his book, Margin. He sums it up and he says this, in fact, margins exist for relationships. This study I often refer to, I think it's just phenomenal. They had this 75-year-old study, 75-year-long study by Robert Waldinger at Harvard. And he's just studying what makes people happy. And they studied 724 men. They actually ended up, because they would interview their wives, their families, their doctors, and they actually ended up following over 2,000 people for 75 years, interviewing them, logging this study to find out what makes people happy. And they found out that number one is relationships. Far and away over anything else, relationships. But not just relationships. They said it's really, you have to have quality relationships. Because actually, you can have a lot of network and a lot of friends and be very lonely. Having lived in New York City, to call it one of the loneliest cities in the world, not quite as lonely as London, which is the number one most lonely city in the world, 55% of people in London said, I'm lonely. New York City, 51%. Over half the people who live there say, I'm lonely. In this huge crowd of people, I'm lonely. Because it's not just having 1,000 Facebook followers. It's not just having a network of friends you can party with every night. It's do you have deep quality relationships? And what they also found out was that not only is the deep quality relationships, do they make you happy, but they help not only your emotional health, but they also help your physical and your mental health. So the people who are the most mentally healthy, the most physically healthy, lived the longest, had the lowest amounts of things like dementia, were people who had deep, close, long-term relationships. And that's just what the Bible says. Psalm 37:7, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. So what is it saying there? Jesus said here, the greatest commandment is number one, love God and then love people. Because the truth is, what really helps us to love people the most deeply is when we understand the love that God has for us. And as we experience and walk in a love relationship with God and experience His love, that then fills our tanks to overflowing with love, so then we can go and love others. That's why Jesus said we can love our enemies. And that's why Jesus said we can love those who persecute us, who use us. Because our love doesn't come out of just our human relationships. When we're filled with the love that the Father has, God the Father has for us, then we're able to, out of that love, love others. But it takes time. Be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Because relationship with God, just like relationship with people, takes time. You have to just spend time with God. That's why we like to take, at the beginning of our services, we take time just to be focused on God, and we'll sing worship songs to Him. Why? Because as we focus on Him, then we're able to be touched in our hearts by the love of God. And that's why people, when we worship, oftentimes in worship, people just, even in the worship time, before the word is ever shared, they start to just feel that love of God filling their hearts. And, people will cry in the midst of worship. They'll feel healing in their hearts from worship, because that's the touch of the love of God in our lives. Psalm 23, verses 1 through 3. I just want to read through this, because it talks about that love relationship that God has for us. And when we learn to walk with God and we take time, this is what you'll experience from God. The Lord is my shepherd. If you don't feel that care from God, that guidance, that provision from God, like a good shepherd taking care of his sheep, then it's not because God doesn't love you. It's probably because you're just not giving God enough time in the margins of your life. You're not creating enough margin for Him to really experience His love. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In other words, I'll always have margin. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. So if you find that your soul is always kind of on edge and feeling empty and dry, you just need to get back to putting that most important thing in your life, which is that margin for God, putting margin in for your relationship with God. That's why in God's view, as we talked about 2 weeks ago, He created us to start the evening and the morning, that every day begins in the evening. Because He wants us to start with what we do in the evenings, which is gather as family and then share and rest together. That's why when God created man in the Bible, when we read about Adam and Eve, the Bible says He created them on the sixth day, and the first day that they spent together was a day of rest, the seventh day. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. So it doesn't matter how bad things get. God, the Bible says, You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And so if you get freaked out, insecure, fearful, every time that things go bad in your life, you need more margin for your relationship with God. Because that relationship with God is meant to protect us and to give us peace in the difficult moments. Because when we get full of fear and insecurity, it's difficult to connect with people. It's difficult to build a deep relationship. It's difficult to bond with people and to share love and deep connection with them. And so God's intention is that He would be a shepherd in our lives, that we would take time to connect with Him, so that even in the presence of our enemies, there's a table where we can share together. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God's intention is that you would live a relationship like this with Him, that there would be a sense of overflow and peace in your life. There would be a sense of provision and communion, even when enemies surround you, that nothing in the circumstances around you could ever steal your peace or your joy, but there'd always be an overflow to give away. And that's how, even when your enemies surround you, there's not fear, there's not animosity. Instead, love comes out. Why? Because God's prepared a table even when you're under attack. That's the Christian life. Too often when people attack us, we attack them back. And so people look at Christians and look at us and say, you're just like everybody else. It's because we've not created margin in our life for our relationship with God. We don't spend time allowing him to fill us. And so today as we close, we're going to take communion together.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.